This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look at you, only slightly frozen. Listen, as soon as you said 17 degrees... I was like, what am I doing here?
For real. For real.
And you're a thin guy anyway, and you're from California.
Yeah, it's not a good mix. No. I mean, I didn't move to Las Vegas because I like snow.
Oh, that's right, right. Vegas now. I'm
sorry. Yeah. I mean, there's snow in Vegas, but it's a different kind.
It's not real snow. I've been to Vegas, man.
Yeah, no, it comes in little bags.
Yeah.
That's a different snow altogether.
So I know we left him out there. So we're in the middle of Adult Toy Prices Right. Nobody's outside in Bob's office. Greg is with me on the air. Jake is having a panic attack because you're outside in 17 degree snow with no goddamn coat on.
Listen, as soon as I texted him and I said, here, and it was like 3 seconds, I was like, I'm going back in my car. Yeah. My nuts.
Yeah.
When I left Vegas, were my age. And right. When I land here, they're 18. They're high and tight.
Very much
high
so.
High and tight.
Thickens the bag.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, man. When I live in Vegas, I'm like, oh, I should buy some longer socks to keep these bad boys, you know.
Vegas will definitely lengthen the world.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But no, I do love coming here, man. I really do. I always love coming here. I love the crowds here.
Yeah, it'll be great, man.
They're very, you can really say whatever you want.
Yeah,
in Kansas City.
It's not very PC. It's
no.
I mean, it's, you know, like everywhere else, it's fine, but it's not ultra over the top. People here are still pretty normal, man.
That's what I've always liked about it. I mean, listen, if you can't laugh, like I've been joking a lot about my son's sobriety on stage,
right?
And people have been. This one thing where they're like, oh, and I always point to the comedy club sign on stage. I'm like, hey.
That's it.
You see where we are, right?
By the way, his son's a comedian as well.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is what you do. This is how you get rid of excess energy. It's how you purge the demons, man.
Yeah. It's how you cope.
That's right.
It's the only way you can really cope. We laugh. We make fun of the things that make us uncomfortable.
That's it. And the greats always have, because you know that's the pressure valve, right? That's how you let it out. What was it? The great Bob Saget story. He had told us. He loved his mother, Dolly, so very much, and the other guys in the show were very close. And when they got to the funeral, of course, they were super sad. They knew Dolly, and he was outside waiting for them, and he said, thank you for coming. You want to see a dead body?
Listen.
And I just go, you know.
So my buddy, Brody Stevens, committed suicide. Mm-hmm. He was a comic, and there was this huge thing at the Comedy Store. And he was so well respected, you know, by all of us. And so, you know, a bunch of comics were there and some of his friends from the Valley were there and they spoke and they weren't that funny. And their part was kind of long. And right. And Jeff Ross comes on stage after the four of them talk. And he goes, you know, after listening to Brody's friends talk, I can kind of understand why he killed himself.
Yeah.
Right? And the whole place, right? Because this is what we do. This is how. And so whenever I hear someone go, say to Con, you know, are you allowed to joke about that?
Yeah.
It's, it, you know what it is? It's, is it funny? There's no topic off limits.
That's right.
Is it funny? And what's the intent behind it? Is
always,
the intent?
Always the intent. You can always tell.
That's all it is. We got to be grownups now, and we got to be like this. If a word is still triggering you and not the way. Now, there are some that obviously
that are
off the table. But if a word is what's triggering you and not how somebody's using it. Dude, man, I had somebody walk out of my show. You know, I'm going to push the envelope, but I don't. I push the envelope with the arms wide open. That's kind of dude.
Right.
Dude, I had some people walk out of my show.
Good.
That's exactly what I said.
Beat it, man.
People were like, we're sorry about that. I was like, are you kidding? We're going to have fun now that the narcs aren't here.
Still got it.
Yeah, man. My comedy has changed because since my son's been sober, I've been sober.
Is that right? Did you do that too?
Yeah, just to support him.
No,
it seems weird.
I'd say good for you, man.
Yeah, it seems. I will say that it's boring. I don't know how you guys do it.
Yeah.
Is people go to sleep at Friday at 8 p.m.?
Yeah, I mean, you were known for microdosing shrooms a lot.
Yeah.
And megadosing.
Yeah, I'm not much of a microdoser because I'm not a quitter.
But I mean, you know, but there are, listen, there's people that drugs work for and people that drugs don't work for.
Yeah.
The same way with alcohol, same way with everything in this world, man. Certain people, there are things you can do and you can moderate and it can be okay. Or it just doesn't work out at all.
This is what I'm saying also. No, I went sober with him just in solidarity. You know, because I think it's a better thing if we're out together, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm from a generation where I can handle my drugs. maybe it's a problem for him, but the only problem for me is when I run out, and I'm out right now. It's been good. I miss mushrooms. I don't miss weed as much. And I've been smoking weed for 30 years.
Is he doing okay?
You know what? Look, dude, full transparency.
Yeah.
Because we talked about it this week on our podcast. He checked himself out early, which is never the best.
Never.
Sign. But
under the guise that he's good or the guise that he's done with that business?
Both.
Yeah.
They're, you know, if you, and again, I'm not speaking out of turn because we had a podcast this week.
No, I'm sure he knows.
And if there is a certain level of youthful arrogance and that I've got it figured out and I don't need that.
Okay.
And so here's where I am. I am hopeful because there is a percentage of people who can do that.
Sometimes you got to bounce.
Yep.
And you go, and I'll be there. If it goes the other way, we're going to work this out too.
This is it. So what the hardest thing that I've had to learn is that not that it's none of my business. That's not the right way to, but this is his journey.
That's right.
And there's nothing I can do.
No, you can't love someone more than they love themselves.
And that's it. And I can't, if I go back to when I was his age, if my parents had been like, I'm going to hop in front of you here, I'd have been like, well, I'm going to walk around.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So
that's how it is.
Yeah.
You give somebody advice and you go, hey, man, and I love you. And if you get sick and you feel like you need help, I'm going to be here.
This is it.
That's it. That's all you can do.
But the hardest thing to do, especially as his dad, is just to, and like I said, man, there is a percentage of people who go, yeah, actually, I'm going to leave early.
Yeah.
I'm going to just do the program. I'm going to do whatever I need to do. And what I'm behind is that he's in that percentage. That's all I can think of support him in that.
And thank God for the material. That's the other
that's
thing.
That's right. You know? And I really wish I had cleared all the weed out of his house. I thought I had another month and a half to do that. My bad.
Yeah. A-hole Bob, the guy who let you in, he got too high when he was in high school, and he left his weed on the countertop at his parents' house where he lived.
Yeah.
And they were like, his dad's military, super pissed off. And his mom's like, Bobby, do you think you can get off the weed? And he's like, of course I can, Mom. No, he couldn't.
Yeah. Dude, can I tell you?
Still like dirty burner. You've seen the Eric Clapton lookalike that let you in, right? Like,
In high school, man, the first time, okay, my weed fell out of my parachute pants.
I had parachute pants.
In the back of my dad's Honda Accord. And so he dropped me off at my buddy's house, and I can say this dude's name because it's long since. My buddy John Sutton, we're going to his house. And this is back, dude, when weed was just called weed. It didn't have, like, the special name. You know what I mean?
It was just called weed. There were no different strains of it. It was brown. And you heard legend of green weed, of hairy weed.
Maui Wowie.
That's right.
It was called weed. Tie stick. And any good weed was either called Maui Wowie or tie stick.
That's right.
But this is the thing. Like, I have friends of mine. Weed is so different. Weed is so different.
Oh, it's nothing like that.
We used to be able to smoke. Well, you'd smoke a whole joint.
Yeah.
Maybe you got high. You definitely got a little bit of a headache.
Yeah.
And you got maybe a tiny bit sleepy.
Yeah.
If you smoke a whole joint of the wrong weed now.
See you next week.
Yeah. Next week. Yeah. It's like. You're going to come home. You're like, where did I lose a shoe? One of those nights. You're like, just one shoe? Is that it? Dude, I
don't smoke. That's why I can't do it. The Whompers. Like that, womp, 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 and I'm like,
you know what I call it? You smoke yourself deaf.
Yeah.
You remember that first time where you're like, you're just, your hearing goes, and you're like, wow, I have smoked myself deaf, which is a really bananas. I think they should name the weed after what it does to you. Yeah. Don't name it like, you know, because it's called like Tutti Frutti. You're like, oh, that's nice.
Oh, yeah. Purple Cushy Huggy Wuggy?
Yeah. Well, that's nice. Is that called Teddy Bear OG? But just name it after what it does to me. Because you know what weed I would never buy again? I would never buy Gets Up Three Times to Check to See if the Oven's On. That's like the worst weed. Mm-hmm. Where you're walking back and forth from your room. You're like, wait, what's the oven? I forgot if the oven was on. Did I check if the oven was on? You go back. That's the bad way.
Give me a gram of Fisher Pants.
Yeah. Just give me a gram of Hungry for an Hour. I like that weed. Dude, that's my favorite weed.
I can't tell you how many friends I've got where I've had to be like, hey, man, your breathing is fine. You don't need to go to the hospital. For whatever reason, the strength now, especially with gummies, they're concerned their breathing is off. And dude, I'm like, your breathing is fine.
Yeah.
I promise you. Just relax. I have a friend, British Lee, who's a professional in Florida. He was a paramedic here. There he works with heart surgeons. And so he occasionally partakes, but he had got a hold of some through a doctor, some kind of a medical deal, like this paste, this medical THC
paste. It's called HSO or FSO or something like that.
Apparently,
it's an oil.
Holy hell.
Yeah.
Right?
It comes in a syringe.
So he takes some by himself in his house with his little dog and gets so high he forgets he took it, but he knows he doesn't want to die. So he said he was laying on the floor. Saying this is a fitness guy. This guy can bicycle like 40, 60 miles at a time. Like he's fit, works out every day, run.
Sounds like a felon if you're biking that far.
So he said, he called me, he goes, John, he goes, I just knew I didn't want to die. I don't want to die. I've got too much to live for. And he goes, he didn't remember calling 911 or his girlfriend. And then he thought, he had the same thought. He goes, I'm going to walk it off. And he went out of his neighborhood and he started walking. He was just going to walk his way through it.
Amazing.
I'm going to keep on. I'm going to push my way through this. When he came back around again, the cops and the firemen and his girlfriend were there. And she said, the neighbor said, don't worry, he'll come back around again.
Dude, they should call that gummy. Check your blood pressure. And then that's what I want. Like, if I'm going to end up like my brother did one night at like CVS in the blood pressure machine. He did that because he was messing with me. And, you know, he's my older brother and he had done terrible things to me growing up.
Sure.
He tried to pretend like he could take as much edibles as I could. I'll warn you once. But after that, you're a grown up. Do you know what I mean?
No, without a doubt.
I'm not your dad, and as a matter of fact, I would rather see you uncomfortably high,
right?
Because that's funny.
Yeah, to me. Yeah sure.
To
sure.
me, and I'm going to give you one warning. And he was like, "I can eat what you eat," and I just went, "Cool."
How many grams?
100. And so, and 100 for me is like,
I'd have gone to the hospital.
Oh, dude,
100 grams will put me right. I'd be like,
I would do 100 grams and go on stage.
Oh.
You know, yeah, I would take 3 grams of mushrooms and go on stage.
I know.
Yeah, my
Which
favorite.
Is a maximum, like for me. Like, that's
enjoyable.
Yeah. That's really my I need to be alone 3 grams.
Like, so I haven't been doing it, and I won't be doing it this weekend. But I think mushrooms are the thing that I will go back to before I go back to weed.
I think so. I think you can.
I just love them.
Yeah, yeah. I think.
And again, I don't have. They don't control my life, and I don't do the drugs that Jacob was doing. That feel like
right. No, the grip.
Yeah,
no, the mushrooms don't have the grip.
No,
that's a different vibe altogether. Man.
I'm walking around my neighborhood doing laps, but in a very friendly.
Yes.
Yeah, I sent my brother, so he took the edible, and he texted me numbers, and I texted him back because I told him you're gonna be high. And he just texted me numbers. This was a couple hours after. I go, what is that? He goes, my blood pressure. I'm freaking out. And I was like, where are you? He goes, I'm a CVS in the blood pressure machine.
Oh my God.
I was like, dude, I told you this is not the weed to mess around with.
Dude, and I got a friend who will eat 200.
Yeah.
And it's Pyro in Vegas, my buddy Pyro, who just has a human tolerance, an inhuman tolerance for that. And I got accidentally dosed. I was so high, and I don't smoke, right? So I was out on my motorcycle, and we'd gone a couple places, and then I got home, and I took a nap, and I got up, and I was like, what the goddamn is going on? But it was so hard, and it was so much, I was like, I'm tripping. You know, I've done enough acid and stuff that, I mean, it really felt like tripping.
Oh, and, it is if you take enough edible.
And I was like, who would have dosed me? And then I was having this thing in my head. I'm walking around my house, and I'm just like... And I get a shower. I go, man, I'm just getting a shower for a minute. So I get in the shower. But what's bumming me out is I'm thinking somebody had dosed me. I thought, that's an unfriendly thing to do.
Yeah.
Right? I don't remember it. So I call up my buddy who's with me. And I go, hey, man, I'm pretty high. And he goes, you too? And I go, yeah. And he goes, did you eat a brownie off the table? And I go, I did, dude. And nobody said a word. I ate this entire brownie. And God only knows how much was in it. But then I felt instantly better because then it didn't meant that nobody had done anything to my beer or whatever.
Yeah.
It just meant that, oh, I stupidly picked up something I shouldn't have and ate the whole goddamn thing. And luckily I was out riding the bike. I got home, took a nap, which explains why I was sleepy, and then woke up high as balls for the next 5 hours.
I still don't understand. You were at a picnic function though.
Yeah.
Like who's putting
somebody with a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Do you know what though? Here's the thing about homemade edibles. And this is one of the good things about legal weed. The best thing about legal weed is that I don't have to go to my drug dealer's house and watch him play Call of Duty for 2 hours before he gives me my bag. I'm like, come on, dude. I gotta watch you play this video game. Are you painting a
so
car?
True.
Yeah, that's the worst part.
Dude, drug dealers are just people. Most drug dealers, I think, in the old days weren't even guys who wanted to deal drugs. They were just lonely people who knew you would have to sit around for a certain amount of time and visit with them, and then they would begrudgingly sell you $25 worth of weed.
And pre-video game, it was worth. They were worse. They were like painting model cars. Like, you want to see my 67 Camaro? I'm like, no, dude. Don't want to see your 67 Camaro. Just give me some of the brown dirt weed. Why am I here right
painting
now?
Metal cars.
Yeah,
he's not joking.
I know,
kidding,
that's
dude.
Why it's funny.
He's not joking, man.
I hadn't thought
and
of that.
They all had these dogs that looked like they would rip your throat out. They would just stare at you, these dogs.
My dude had a cat, actually. My dude, he really did. That cat.
Where is a cat?
It's just, he lived in an apartment. He was just a lonely dude who sold bags of weed, man. He was just...
It was so... You're right, though. They were just lonely.
Yeah.
They were like, sit down. You're like, do I got to sit down on that couch?
You had to sit down, man.
Do you have...
Oh my God!
They were different. They were different than coke dealers because a coke dealer had one guy that he would bring into your house, which was great.
Yeah,
we didn't do it a lot, but when you did, you'd call me. He'd run by, but then he'd always be like, "Aren't you gonna?" And I'm like, "No, man, I bought it for me. You're the dealer. Do your own."
Is
but
the
you
difference
had to do it. That's
between weed and coke dealer?
Yeah, because that dude's waiting for you to cut it out for him, and it's a
dude,
whole different thing.
Weed dealer, you're going to his house. Coke dealer is coming to you.
Yeah. That's right.
And you're right. The weed dealer will give you a hit off of his joint, but the coke guys are, let me get a bump. You're like, dude, I only bought a 20 sack.
I'm not tipping.
Yeah.
I'm not tipping.
This is an Uber.
I was just thinking, if you're not DoorDash, I'm not going to split my meal with you.
This is not how this works. Yeah, I am glad for no, the drug dealer, the legal weed better.
Yeah.
To be able to walk into a store. I do
love
that they're called bud tenders.
See, it drives me crazy. Right when they call it flower, I'm like, just it's weed. Shut up. Could you just stop with that? But I was just in New York on Fifth Avenue,
yeah.
next to you know, Louis Vuitton and all the high-end stores. There's a weed store on Fifth Avenue in New York City. The nicest weed store I've ever seen in my life.
Dude, here's a couple things. One, when I go into the store, you know who's not going to know more about weed than me? You. You're 22 years old. I've been smoking weed longer than you're alive. The terpenes, let me smell it. Yeah. I don't need to know the chemical breakdown.
Yeah, your cannabinoids and this and that. Yeah.
Can I look at it and smell it? That's basically it. I don't, and not only that, I don't think we need the 80 strains.
No.
Five.
Now, and it's broken down into everything. You mean you want to sit outside on the porch, but you want to be on the shady side of your house?
Yeah.
Oh, this is what you want.
Oh, do you want to skip half the time you're walking? No, I don't. I just want to walk. What are you talking about? Like, it's so, so specific. True, so do true. You want to roll your R's when you speak Spanish? This is the... What are you talking about? I want to get high, man. You know, I would like this weed to keep me awake and this one to put me asleep. I need two different weeds.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it,
man. I don't need the weed that's going to make me want to listen to smooth jazz. It doesn't have to be that specific.
If you're just joining the show, by the way, Josh Wolf is here with us.
Dude, that dog is so handsome.
Buddy. He's the buddy-o, man.
So handsome. It's crazy. It's distracting.
He's a proper dog.
Yeah, man.
And is in the way that I say a proper dog, like he's the right size, like he could handle himself if he had to, but he's not mean. He's a proper dog.
He's
like
good dude.
He's the best thing to ever happen.
I'll tell you, one of my and my wife's gonna be bummed to hear this, but the thing that I miss the most when I'm on the road is walking my dog in the morning.
Sure. Yeah, I get it.
That and we go he's like half American Bulldog, half pit. So he just likes
to. So he's bananas.
Yeah, you know what he started to like to do?
Yeah.
So he's always pooped kind of weird. He's always, when we first got him, he would like to poop, like he would back his butt up against a tree and make sure the poop stuck on the tree. So he would get right up against a tree.
It's kind of great.
Amazing. And then he would turn and look at it like, I think I beat my record. That's taller. It was like a high jump for him. He was always trying to be. And then he went straight bush pooper.
Uh-huh.
Where he's a cherry on top of a sundae, loves to not the like a flatter, smaller bush, but now his new thing is so see the side of that freeway there. He would love that because he'll put his butt up on top, like on the up of the incline, and he likes to poop and watch it roll down beneath his legs. He poops and when it rolls down, he'll look up at me with that smile like it did it again. It rolled down beneath my legs again. It's like he's got a good sense of humor.
Sometimes I wonder if he's special or not. Like he'll pee on his own front foot because he'll half the time now he will lift his leg. He's only a year old.
Yeah,
but the rest of the time he'll just kind of lean into it. He doesn't squat, but he just kind of leans forward. But I'm like, dude, you're depending on how he's leaning. I'll go, you're peeing on your right front foot. Like, your foot peeing on your own foot, dude. But he's a rock pooper. He loves to poop in rocks. That's his thing. Like if there's rocks, he will walk over to it and poop in the rocks.
Yeah, I wonder why the tree rock hill
he's
poopers
a rock pooper for sure. And he's a weird effer. I mean, he just is. Man.
My guy is. Too.
He just he can't sleep close enough to you. Like he sleeps in bed, and he cannot. He will bowling ball himself into you.
My is the opposite. When it's time for bed, he's like, "Hey, dude, find your own space." I don't. Yeah, he likes.
See, my old dog Barge used to hurt my feelings like that.
Yeah. He's like, "Find your own space, dude." I'm with you. But in this guy, my guy also is like, because he's half American Bulldog, he's very single owner.
Yep.
A very single owner.
He would leave me for anybody.
Yeah.
He would follow you to your car, get in and be like, I love it here.
Yeah. You have more treats than the last guy?
Yeah.
See you later.
I like to get petted, right? Cool. Yeah. All right, we're fine. I'm telling you, he would get into a car with a goddamn stranger and be like, I'm pretty happy. Well, yeah, I think of him often, but you know, like,
dude,
where are we going?
My Jacob, when he was a kid, was like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one day I walk, okay, dude. One day, I walk out of my house, and Jacob is in my driveway shooting hoops. We had a basketball hoop with this dude.
Like a grown man?
Grown-ass man. And, you know, he looked like anybody out of like a 70s drifter movie. Jean jacket, jeans, bandana, backpack. Right? I'm like, ooh, is this the original Rambo?
Yeah.
Is this First Blood? Are you going? Are you on your way to the cave, dude?
Yeah.
So I walk out and I hear Jacob go, all right, Greg, see ya. So I go, I walk out to him and I take a shot and I go, who's that? He goes, well, that's Greg. I go, great. Who's Greg? He was like, well, I don't know. I said, what do you mean? I go, does he live around here? He goes, I don't know. I said, how do you know Greg? And he said, well, he was walking by and I asked him if he wanted to shoot some hoops. So he comes in. I go, oh, I go, what'd you and Greg talk about? He goes, not much. He goes, I did tell him that you travel every weekend though. And I said, what? He goes, yeah. He goes, yeah, I told him it was just me and mom most weekends.
Oh, my God. Oh.
And then I had this dog at the time named Rocky. And Rocky was half a pit, half boxer. And if you looked at him, he looked kind of scary.
Sure.
He would stare at you.
Yeah.
But what you didn't know is he was frightened and just trying to disappear.
Right.
So he would just stare at you completely still, like, if I don't move, you won't see me. So Jacob tells this guy. Yeah, that's Rocky. Rocky's in the yard. He's so scared of you. He's staring. He runs away from squirrels, which he did. He would get chased in the house by the squirrels. So I tell Jacob, I go, did you tell him anything else? He was like, no. I tell him you usually leave on Thursdays.
Exactly. Oh, and then we don't have guns.
Yeah,
there's no lock on the door.
Like, yeah. So.
And mommy's lonely.
I had to bring him in the house.
Oh, my God.
And bring him. You know, there's that website where you can show people where
predators are.
Predators are.
In your neighborhood.
I go, you see that one moving? That's probably Greg. What are you doing?
Yeah,
it's so stupid. But he was like, if you gave Jacob a treat, he'd be like, yeah, here's my buddy Greg. Come on in for some food.
I'm going to get in the car. I got in the car. Of course he did.
Yeah.
He
said,
yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, dude. He said he knew you.
Yeah, he didn't want, I don't know. He said, you don't have to walk home anymore.
Pretty dumb. But he was like, he's like your puppy dog.
Yeah, no. This one, he just likes everybody. He literally would just leave and just he loves my neighbor more than me. It's Chris. He sees Chris and his tail goes crazy. My neighbor to the left.
Yeah,
and he runs over there. And I mean, it's a whole thing to get him back. I'm like, could you just please come back to my house, buddy.
Yeah,
and then I have some neighbors across the street. Like, you know how these guys can be knuckleheads. He's got that Staffordshire in him. So he'll listen if you bark pretty good. You're like, hey, no, like, or buddy. And apparently I yelled too much. Like, anybody who knows there's nothing in a dog's world that I won't take care of. Like,
yeah.
I will carry him through the snow. He's my best friend. All I wanted is for him to love me. I would never hurt a dog. My neighbor, I swear to God, I must have yelled too much one day because he ran across the street. And my neighbor, who's very nice, just goes, hey, John, he's a good dog. Jesus Christ, man. I didn't even know what to say. I walked back to my house with my head like this. He thinks I beat this goddamn dog.
I was yelling at you, Chris.
He goes, hey, John, he's a good dog. I'm like, I know him. Swear to God.
Yeah, man, I'm with you on the puppy dogs.
And not having kids, this is all I have. I can only relate in the way, like, he would let the burglar in the house for sure, by the way.
Oh, for sure. If the burglar gave him a treat, I gave him two little treats, and he was like, "This, I don't know that dude on the other side of the desk. How many more treats you got? I
swear to God.
You got room in the front seat of the car?
Every single time, man. So, by the way, Josh Wolf is here, and he's going to be doing shows tonight and tomorrow night at the Funny Bone. But did you just leave Vegas? Speaking of leaving home?
Just left Vegas. Yeah, first of all,
F1 just happened. Everything went in.
F1 happened.
Everybody hates it. Everybody who lives in Vegas hates the Strip with a passion.
It is... I live in Vegas now. I do a residency there every Monday night. I stumbled upon a show there, dude. Do you go to Vegas?
Sure.
Now? You know, as you get older, you're like, are there shows here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
Although, they just canceled the one that was a Cirque du Soleil Beatles show.
The Love.
Oh, I wanted to see it high so bad. I wanted to see it on mushrooms. I was with people. We didn't have any drugs. But I wanted to see it on mushrooms so badly.
I don't know if you know anything about Las Vegas, but you can find drugs there.
I know.
That's not like, where can I find drugs in Las Vegas? All you had to do was walk into any hotel and be like, who's got drugs?
That's right. That's
75 people would have run up. Yeah, it would have been like you could have taken some bids. Right. Like, they're not hiding it. But I like to also get high and go see shows. And by the way, if you're ever in Vegas on a Monday night, my show is...
Where's that?
At Kimmel's Comedy Club.
Oh, great. Great, awesome. Man.
It's amazing.
Legend. I mean, that's a great comedy club.
It's a great club. It's perfect for me. it's a 7:30 show, so I can be home at a reasonable hour.
Right.
But I get to just go and try new stuff. It's where I go in and just unleash on whatever. But there's a show, dude, that I had never seen before. Have you ever seen Puppetry of the Penis?
I've only heard about it. I've only read about it. I mean, we've talked about it, and we maybe even interviewed the guys on the show, but we've never actually seen it. Do you know what it is?
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah.
Millennial, you don't know.
Yeah, do you know who went though? Your boy.
Good for you.
Listen,
man.
Am I not going? I'm like, you fold your penises into different shapes?
Yeah.
How am I not going to that? My brother was like, you're going to go see that show. I said, it doesn't sound sexual at all.
No.
If you're getting
like
a boner at that show, I will tell you, they name them. They fold them up pretty good. They really do. They fold them up pretty good. You forget people use them for pleasure, that's for sure. Right? You're like, whoa. There's a couple, but when they do the hamburger, you're going to have to be like, is it supposed to do that?
Isn't that one ball on top of the other with it?
It's so crazy. I've never been so nauseous and hungry at the same time in my entire life. I was just like, that is kind of amazing.
Yeah. So he's never heard of this. See, it was a big thing in the either late 90s, early 2000s, but it ended up landing in Vegas, I guess. Puppetry of the Penis. And you know, you're like, it's a quail. Look, it's
finger pup. It's like, you know how they do finger shadow?
Yeah.
But to a different level.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really is remarkable because at first you're like, well, I'm not going to stare at these two dudes. Penises for an hour, and then at the end of the hour, you're like, yeah, I might watch that again.
You're pretty numb to the whole thing.
Dude, it is not. It's no longer a penis. He's like, well, what can you bend that into now?
Did you have a girl with you?
Yeah.
Because I tried to decide.
For the purpose of this story, I did. Sure, if that makes you feel better. I didn't hold hands with my friend the whole time. No.
I was just thinking, man, we have such ugly genitalia.
Yeah, terrible.
Is it better to take a girl so she at least finds it somehow useful and artful, or does it just dehumanize us to the point where they're like, enough of all of this, everything?
But can I let me just push back a little bit? It's not like the vagina is anything real beautiful. A close up, of a vagina looks like a wounded stingray from SeaWorld. It's like, whoa, I would put that thing back in the water, man. It looks dried out. Like, only one of the flaps is working. Get it in the water.
I used to call it the toothless screamer.
Yeah. Listen,
it looks like it's screaming.
If you just got a close-up of it and you weren't sure what it was, you'd be like, that is something you pulled from deep underwater. Like, that's one of those underwater things where you're like, whoa, I've never seen one of those before.
A conch?
It's a Star Wars alien. That thing ends up on your face and steals your life, which is true also. But the penis is also, like, not great looking, but a vagina.
I'm still pretty fond of it.
Like,
I still like to look
too.
At it, but I do like to look at it. Like, I mean, I'd get underneath there and, like a kid reading a comic book at night.
With a flashlight.
Totally, man.
Do you remember the first Audi vagina you saw?
Yeah.
Where you were like...
There's labia?
Yeah, you're like, that hangs out. Like, that's not sideways Homer Simpson's mouth. That's like an Audi.
Right.
Dude. So that's what it looks like on the inside, on the outside.
Yeah. Huh. Oh, there's everything about it is new. The first time you fellate a girl.
Yeah.
You can do cunnilingus.
Yeah.
I guess you say it's like, you know, it's like putting your tongue on a 9-volt battery.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah. And some along the line, it's like beer. Like at first, you drink it, you're not really sure about the taste, but you like the way it makes you feel.
Yeah.
And then you genuinely find an affinity for it.
Same with the butthole.
Yeah.
The butthole, you're like, are those nickels? What is that? You know? Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a...
Yeah, I've always said the woman's butthole is kind of like the opposite. You know, like vanilla extract?
Mm-hmm.
It's the opposite of that. Because vanilla extract smells good, but you taste it, you're like, what in holy hell? But the butthole is like, you smell it, you're like, I'm not going to like the way that tastes. And you taste it, you're like, no, that's not that bad. You know? You know?
Two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow. Two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow, guys. Funny Bone, listen, this is going to cover everything, man.
Yeah, I'm a little off the rails right now. Without the weed,
that's good.
And I feel completely unplugged. This is what, it's like I said, it's a combination of what something Joey Diaz said to me and watching that Elvis documentary, which was, who cares?
Yeah, that's it. Go, man. Go, man, go.
I do you listen to podcasts at all?
Sure.
I listened to this one where it was, you know, some things resonate and you're not sure why. But I heard this one dude was talking on a podcast. He said, I read this. He was like, I was reading this blog and in all caps, it just said, wake up. And as soon as he said, wake up, I was like, wait a second. Wake up. It just doesn't matter. And I was like,
that's it. Nobody gets out alive. That's it. I mean, that's, you got time and that's it. So full steam ahead, my friends.
Wake up. It just doesn't matter. And I was like, oh, this is exactly what I needed to hear in this exact moment. And if I say something that offends you, to me, that's on you for a multitude of reasons. Yeah. One, if you know anything about me, I'm really going to say whatever I think is going to make people laugh.
And right. And it's not with ever any harmful intent. That's exactly
but
right.
But I think that being comfortably uncomfortable is a great way to look at comedy.
Absolutely, dude.
Do you know?
And our differences make us funny, and it's what brings us together. And again, there's a – and I hate the fact that I feel like in this day and age, at this point in my life, I would ever have to explain that to another human being. But you don't really. They know intent. They understand that it was never meant to be that. It's just there's a certain cultural shift that happened where people were like, oh, my God, it's my turn to get offended. Then the attention will be on me. And I'm like, stop it, you stupid dick. Why did you come to a comedy show?
This is the thing, and it's up to you if you want to be offended. I've been talking about this on stage as an example, and I haven't quite figured out how to make it a joke. But basically, you know, people say to me all the time, you don't look Jewish. I'm 100% Jewish, right? And somebody said that to
me. You don't look Jewish.
Exactly, right? And somebody said that to me in front of some other Jews. And one of my friends was like, dude, aren't you offended by that? I'm like, no, I take that exactly how it was intended as a compliment. He said, what he means is I don't look like you ugly Jews. I don't, you know what I mean? I have a regular size nose and I don't look like a tired goblin. Yeah, dude. I take this as a compliment. I don't look like Woody Allen. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate. I don't look like Larry King. Appreciate it. Yeah, dude.
See, all I thought was Hasidic, like with the hat and the tendrils. Like, to me, it's only I'm terrible at stuff like that because I'd be an awful bigot and racist because I don't know. I have no idea. Like, if you were like, what does a Jew look like? I'd be like, oh, that's the guy with the hat and the tendrils and the beard because that's the stereotype.
Dude, that's
right?
Your 80s girlfriend with her.
That's
Jews
right.
Hanging
that's
on the
right.
side.
But
exactly.
If you had to say, is there a look? That's the only way I would know. If you asked me, how would you know if someone's Muslim? I'd be like, well, they're wearing a burqa.
Yeah.
You
know
what I mean? But that's kind of where it stops, you know?
Yeah.
And it's weird. And by the way, when do people start whispering Mexican? Like, I've heard people do that where they're like, he was Mexican. I'll go, hey, man, people from Mexico are Mexican.
Yeah, that's right.
What are you whispering it for, you crazy bastard?
It's like my grandmother used to be like, I think he's on drugs. I'm like, why are you whispering drugs?
Yeah. But it's always intent, right? It is, and you know what it is. You know what it is.
It is. And here's the thing. It's like stereotypes. Stereotypes don't come out of nowhere.
Of course not. No.
It's when you say we can't laugh at these groups, like these. Oh, you can't make fun of these people. That's the problem. It's like, are we separating them?
No,
are they not allowed to join the group?
That's always it, man. That's exactly it. So it's like when they scream about what do they call that? Cultural appropriation. I go, what are you? If that's the most racist thing I've ever heard in my life. When you go, you can't use this because you're not of that. I go, so a black guy can't listen to bluegrass? Like you're like,
yeah,
by the way, you should suffer as much as I do with that. Bluegrass is the sound of insanity. That's a sound of insanity. That's syphilis personified.
Dude.
You go, come on, stop it. Like, again, there's always a middle. We know that. But the people who go to comedy clubs, I think 99.9% went because they're just still trying to laugh. Just all trying to get along, it's funny. But, you know, when you're friends, we've done this since we were children, right? How do you tell your real friends you love them? You bust their balls.
That's the only way.
That's it.
I'm only pulling a prank on you if we're buddies.
That's right.
I'm not wasting a joke on somebody I don't know.
It's unappreciated.
Yeah, I'm not wasting a joke on Up Bun.
Yeah. This poor guy.
Yeah. It was worse that you were bending down to your shoe.
Yeah, dude.
All man. I can see was your dog.
Man bun. He's a good, we accept him. We accept him. But he is absolutely as millennial as it gets.
Yeah. How long have you been up bunning?
About 4 years.
I'm sorry. How long have you been blowing dudes?
Wow. He was also a cheerleader.
I mean, somebody's grabbing that bun from the top.
My girlfriend is.
Wow. Okay.
She's hot.
Thank you.
I've got you.
Up bun usually gets a hot girlfriend, though.
Of course, that's the beard, right?
Yeah.
That's the way you do
it. One of the quality beards.
He was also a gymnastics coach and a cheerleader.
Yeah.
Is this true? Really? And he sings in a men's vocal group.
Yeah.
A choral group.
Come on, just let's. Yeah,
just come on out, man.
Yeah, dude, I would.
Closets are for clothes.
I love that he embraces it.
Sure, man.
Yeah, your girlfriend's name is Pat.
Jamie. we're doing our best to kid him. He's much more normalized than when he got here. That's for sure.
How so? What are the? Tell me some major differences.
I'd say you've come to accept that things are funny.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yes.
He was wound a little tight.
Were you?
When he got here.
Well, yeah, because I take pride in like what I look like and all that stuff. And Johnny's like, that's a man bun. You look stupid.
Yeah. He's not wrong.
No. But it's just, you know, we're just talking about life and just people and what's important. Like, it's not all
how
the social
you,
cultural rules.
I'm almost 40.
I know.
Yeah, so millennial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you biting me for, dude? I'm the one who feeds you.
You know what's funny is that people, like a lot of dudes our age especially, mix up millennial and Gen Z. But millennial are now old people living at their parents' house.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, Gen Z are but millennials are in their 40s
now. We're about 40 now.
Wow. By the way, I hate the tags, don't you? Like, I'm like, stop it. That was just some advertising agency's ploy to come up with Gen X, and then that turned into millennial, that turned into Gen Z, that turned into whatever.
And we're at alpha? We went through the whole alphabet already?
It's ridiculous.
We went from boomer, which was a word, to Gen X.
But, yeah.
I love the silent generation. That just means nobody cared enough to give you a name.
That's right. Because if you'd have tried to, somebody would have beat your ass.
But Gen, dude, I will tell you, here's what when I try to tell my kids, when they're like, what's the biggest difference between how you were raised and I was raised? And I can tell you this right now. In general, obviously exceptions. But the general huge difference is that we were unsupervised.
No, feral.
We were unsupervised.
For real. And that's not a joke or a stereotype. That's real,
it
man.
It raises, when you're raising yourself or other kids are raising you, it develops a different. You could think of 10 times when you were a kid, experiences where you're like, oh, I should be dead, right?
100%.
At least 10 times.
Yes.
And I'm not saying
like,
that's
for real.
Good. Like I'm
for
glad,
real. Legitimately dead.
Can I tell you a conversation I had with my brother? We were alone in the house, and he was like, hey, how long do you think you can last in the refrigerator? I was like, let's find out.
What the hell?
Right? Because there was no grown-up there to be like, whoa, don't. Do you know what we used to do, dude? We would go down in our youngest of four boys. We would go down in my basement.
Mm.
We would each grab three metal darts out of the dartboard. We would turn out the lights and just whip them at each other as hard as we could.
Of course. BB gun wars.
Yeah, dude. We fired bottle rockets at each other.
Did you throw
snowballs at people?
Oh, yeah. And I was just going to say, and you'd have to make the rules. Like, hey, no, nobody puts a rock in the snowballs. And you'd have to make that rule. But I got in trouble. We were throwing eggs at cars going over.
Oh, dude.
And the dude caught us. And then my dad got involved. It was a bad day. It was a bad
day. Did you ever go slushing? You hold onto the bumper of a car?
Sure.
Like, see, these are things.
Oh, we should get on car hoods. Roofs. This is how white trash we were. There'd be an adult who would pull children around on a car hood that was connected to the bumper.
Dude, do you remember? We used to go from our Little League game in the back of a guy's pickup truck.
Yeah.
And his rule for safety on the freeway was make sure you wear your baseball helmet.
That
so if
famous.
We get bumped out of the back of the pickup, at least we're wearing our 1985 batting helmet.
Yeah. That was advanced.
Yeah.
My parents left me alone with my mom worked at a nursing home with some lady she worked with by myself. They went somewhere and my brothers were somewhere. I walk into this house. There's two juvenile delinquent 17-year-old kids, like dudes straight out of a 70s after school special. No shirts, tan, blue jeans, feathered hair, kind of a mustache. You get high? I am 12. And so they get me high for the first time. I'm 12. Out of a beer bottle, the old school Budweiser bottles.
Yeah.
They were like kind of a pyramid at the top, and they had tapped it into a bong. I'm high beyond belief. There's no way the mom doesn't know I'm high now, by the way. I'm probably 13 years old. The next morning, we get into a truck. I'm with strangers. They drove to Springfield, Missouri, which is a good clip from here, in the summertime. I'm in the back of a truck. I get sun poisoned. Like, I'm burnt to a cinder. And I remember laying in a bed wondering where my parents were, like in a weird hotel. I could barely have a sheet on me, bright red. And then the next day, we drove all the way back to Kansas City. And I just think, as I got older, I was like, Mom, who That's was not- that lady? I worked with her. She was nice. I go, do you know what happened? They gave me drugs and then sunburnt me to death in the back of a truck.
Probably picking up more drugs.
Yeah, they probably were.
Can I ask how old you are?
Yeah, I am 49.
Okay, so then you probably, you're in that generation where girls especially at 10 were already babysitting toddlers.
Of course.
And fixing the meal. They were like, fix the kid meal for the kids and clean up. Mm-hmm. They would bake chicken at 10.
Right.
And parents would just go out. But they were at 10, girls in my generation were they were like trustworthy enough to babysit toddlers.
Oh, mm-hmm. Dude. And you learned to get your ass kicked at an early age. Mm-hmm. You knew who the kids in the neighborhood to avoid were. You knew who the bullies were. Mm-hmm. And you knew who you could mouth off to and you weren't. But you learned early.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when we threw snowballs at cars, I always made sure that I threw snowballs with at least two fat kids that I could outrun.
That's right.
Because you get chased by a grown man in a car who was mad that you threw a snowball.
Yeah.
That was true fear. Because there was no parent who was going to be like there in the afternoon to stop him from pummeling.
No.
Oh, dude. And beggars? Oh, my God. Shoveling driveways.
Oh, dude.
I mean.
That's how I made raking leaves, shoveling driveways.
Yeah. You'd wander around the streets and knock on a stranger's door and be like, can I do menial tasks for money for you?
And yeah.
Like, I mean,
if you wanted money, you had to go find out a way to get it.
And your parents had no problem with you literally walking on strangers, knocking on a strange door, and then they had no idea where you were.
Dude, how many times did you hitchhike?
I never hitchhiked.
Hitchhiked?
I never hitchhiked. From an adult, no. I mean, I definitely took rides from kids I didn't know in high school, but we didn't hitchhike. We didn't have to because my area wasn't that big.
We hitchhiked.
Wow.
Yeah, dude.
That's a big one.
Just get in somebody's car. Yeah. The original Uber.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They would just pull over, and we'd be like two 12-year-olds. You're like, where are you going? I don't know.
Need a lift?
We're going to the park. Yeah.
Never been this far away before.
Yeah. Listen, dude. Okay. Ready? So we used to play, ride and get on our bikes, no helmets. And obviously, I don't know if you did this. This is a separate story, but my neighbor's dad used to send us down, and I would get on my friend's, the handlebars of his bike, no helmets.
Right, of course not.
And we would
that was for special kids. No joking.
Had helmets.
If you wore a helmet, it's because there was something going on with you, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Dude. He would send us to the store to get him cigarettes at 12.
Oh. I had a neighbor I used to run for.
Virginia Slims.
Yeah.
Connie said they needed them.
My mom would be like, give me some Winstons.
and the people would be like, who's this for? For my dad. Okay, here you go.
Exactly.
Oh, I can tell you.
That was it.
95 cents because it was a nickel. It was exactly $1. I knew that because by junior high, I was trading my lunch money for cigarettes.
Yeah. That's true. All you had to say was this six packs for my dad. Okay.
Dude, you know, my first sexual contact was with a 32-year-old. I was like 15 or 16. The lady who worked at the 7-Eleven, we used to go around. Like, there was nothing out there. There was a fields, and we lived kind of in a not rural, but it was the edge of the suburbia. And there was a 7-Eleven there, and then we would always meet at 7-Eleven, smoke some weed, hang out. That's we'd meet up. Somebody'd have a car. You'd jump in, go to a party, whatever it was. But that was it was straight out of Clerks.
Yeah.
We'd hang out on the side, right?
Yeah.
And this chick named Diane, we worked there, and she was older. And she'd sell cigarettes or we'd talk, whatever. Gave me my first mouth hug in her car in the parking lot every time I drive by it because my parents' house is still out there. My brother lives in it. And I have friends that live near it. And I drive by it and I'm like, that's the one. That's the parking space right there. Dude, she's literally easily twice my age.
Do you get a boner when you drive by that parking spot?
Like,
even now you're like, that's the best.
What a gift from heaven.
Yeah.
No way. I didn't tell anybody. I wanted to do it a couple times.
Dude,
right? Like,
my friend in high school was having sex with one of the teachers.
Keep your mouth shut.
That's what we did. We didn't. There was no telling.
Now they rat themselves out and they get in trouble, right?
There's no telling. I remember I've talked to him since. I'm like, did that scar you? And he was like, a beautiful, emotionally secure, wonderful scar. The best. He was like, that was one of the best moments of my life.
Of course.
He said, I was 16 having sex with this hot 30-year-old. And he couldn't drive yet, so I would drive him to her house.
And she never threw you a bone?
She would make me some food. I would eat. Well, they would have sex. Yeah, it was great. It was a perfect setup for me.
You're always hungry when you're that age. Right.
Yeah. She knows. Growing boys.
Yeah, but it was a... I don't know, people. Look, I'm not saying that grown people should have sex, like grown women should have sex with 16-year-old boys. But what I am, and I would tell you, if there was a grown man having sex with my 16-year-old daughter, I would hunt him down and murder him.
Of course it is. You should murder him. And sometimes, I think the preface for that is, if you're 16 and you're saying, I'll do it, and she's hot, that's one thing. Because I had the exact opposite. I had to go to night school. I know, it's a huge surprise.
Yeah.
And she was a nice lady. I don't remember her name. I won't use it. But she got in my car. It was a 1980 Pontiac Sunbird after night school. And she made it very clear underneath the streetlight at that parking lot at Olathe South High School that we could do this. And she was, you could tell she was trying to see if I was down with it.
Yeah.
And all I could see was her mustache that she had. Boy. And I was like, dude, you know how hard it is to turn down opportunity at that age?
Yeah.
It's and you
impossible.
And I thought to myself, I hope I still feel like I hurt her feelings. Maybe I should have just gone ahead and done it. But it was I was like, no, I don't think so. I don't think I'm going to do this.
You like, look like I feel like I'm looking in the mirror when I look at your face.
No, she had way more.
Oh, did you?
way more. And she was pudgy and like not a great looking lady. Like she kind of heavy and frumpy. See,
that wouldn't have stopped me. It's at 16. That wouldn't have stopped me.
It did. It did for whatever reason. I didn't go the rest of the way. But I was thinking about that and going, I think it really just goes down to attractiveness. The other lady was a slutty lady. She was dude. She literally, like, you know, you're 16. You're still trying to get a girl to handle it, right? 15 yeah. years old. You're like, just touch it. Please, just put your hand on it and I'll move.
Yeah.
This lady was like, and you're like, oh, you know.
Well, she dude, was
any, if at 16, if you were doing that and making any type of noise.
Oh.
Yeah, I was like, stay silent. This is not going to help me.
Don't make any noise at all.
I don't even want to hear you breathe. Stay silent. Silent. Shh.
Yeah, so sometimes what we're trying to say is it's molestation's a complex issue. it's a gray area.
Try selling that in court. It's a complex issue.
There's an aesthetic to it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, it's true.
It was a different time.
It was a coming of age.
No pun intended.
All right, let me take a break. Stick around. Josh Wolf's with us. He's doing two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow night, the Kansas City Funny Bone. Let me get these commercials in. We'll come right back.